B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
We have wrestlers and writers trying to quit. We have a superstar shakeup on the air. And we have injuries, departures, maybe injuries. We're not really sure. A lot of news this week on Wrestling Inside the Ropes, which you can find on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. The Wrestling Inside the Ropes experience wants to start with what I think is the lead story, which is how many people are trying to get out of WWE right now. Road Dogg quit being the head writer of SmackDown simply because his week's worth of work was being torn up by Vince McMahon. Not a new thing, but he's still on the payroll, just not as SmackDown lead writer. The writer who put together Bret Hart's Hall of Fame speech quit before we think he was going to get fired because he was being yelled at by Vince for putting a thank you Vince McMahon line in Bret's speech, which got through a number of different people before it got to the teleprompter and aired. Luke Harper announced on Twitter that he's requested a release, and the dirt sheets say that Sasha Banks tried to quit after she found out the finish to a WrestleMania match. A lot of stuff going on, Mike.
And I'll tell you, Jimmy, if all were to be out of there, it'd be a great place to apply for a job, WWE.
No, I'm told you don't want to work there.
Well, I mean, a lot of openings is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, unless I am doing creative and I don't answer to anybody, I don't want to work there.
I hear you. I'd rather be a fan, too.
It's more fun second-guessing them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as far as all this stuff goes, at the moment, in April, right now, today as we're recording this thing,
yeah,
I feel like Sasha Banks has worked her last match in WWE. This is the second time where Sasha has had some type of gripe and tried to quit the company. The last time she did this, she got a new contract. This time, I think unless there's some, I don't want to call it immaculate because it's probably bad timing to call anything immaculate, but I think she's gone. And I don't think that she's necessarily defecting to All Elite Wrestling or Ring of Honor or New Japan or anywhere like that. I think she just needs a break.
Yeah.
And so maybe, yeah, you know, 2 months from now, we're talking about Sasha Banks coming back. But this is these people who all want to leave WWE, this is a big deal.
Yeah. And typically, you know, you work your whole career to get to WWE and, you know, it's the crown jewel. Sorry to use that term, even though it was a pay-per-view last year.
I think their next one is in June.
it's the pinnacle of your career. And you look at Sasha Banks. I mean, 2018, legitimately, I think, Jimmy, she got forced to do tag team matches. I mean, nothing wrong with it, but it gets old after a while. Tag team matches against the Riot Squad for like 6 to 7 months. And then you tease a feud with Bayley. And then, you know, the company changes their mind. And every time she more or less won a title in the past, she would lose it within, I don't know, 10 to 14 days.
She's only had one successful championship defense, and that was of the tag team championships this last go of it. What I find fascinating is you and I were both in Dallas.
Yeah.
And when she came out with Snoop in Dallas, she was the number one most over as far as the three women went between Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha. She lost that match. And
I think the crowd was really behind her, like 100%.
100%. There were 100,000 people. They were mostly there for Sasha Banks to be crowned the new women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to her reaction this year at WrestleMania 35, it wasn't even close. And I can cite what I think there were two moments that I think that started the real spiral for Sasha Banks. One was her losing in Boston at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
The other was there was a pay-per-view in December. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a 30-minute Iron Woman match, and she tapped out at the buzzer. And the match went to overtime, and then she either tapped out at the buzzer, got pinned at the buzzer, or in the overtime got pinned or tapped out. But it made her the never give up baby face, for lack, I hate using these terms, but it made her kind of look like second rate.
Yeah.
And I think that really started, and then the stop and start stuff with Bailey, and she should have been a villain and she wasn't a villain. And it's just, the sad thing is I think she's kind of being punished for caring.
Yeah.
That's and a vibe I get, is that she's speaking her mind on things and they're like, you know what? Go away. Yeah, get out of here. Take 2 weeks. Oh, here's a new contract. And now it's I think she feels like, at least if I'm reading through stuff that is out there on the dirt sheets and the internet.
Right.
She freaked out over the finish because she was promised, her and Bailey were promised a good run with the tag team championships, and it just got poof, gone.
And they were more or less the ones that, like you said, that it's because of them they had it, and or created it rather. And yeah, it's something that you created, thrown away like that. And by the way, that pay-per-view we're talking about with the 30-minute Iron Woman match was against Charlotte. December 2016 Roadblock. And that was, and that was the last second tap out there. So yeah, I'd have to say 2016 at the tail end of it, not good for Sasha Banks. Carrying that over the last couple of years, not in her favor. And to her credit, being very vocal in the backstage area to get the tag titles going there. Good for her, laying the foundation for other superstars to, you know, hold the championships. But right now, for something that she essentially did create, taken away from her and Bayley. And now with Bayley making the move to SmackDown, and if we're going off your premises, Jimmy, here, of not ever having another WWE match again, then, you know, I think the writing was on the wall tonight, because Bayley's in SmackDown, and that might be it for Sasha Banks. And if she were to come back, then, you know, she's going to have to go back to that individual route there and kind of reestablish herself.
I mean, my hope is, because Sasha is just immensely talented, that she just needs a break because she's burnt out, and that she'll come back and they'll do something positive with her.
Right. And maybe,
As much as she's been treated kind of, I don't want to say like a second-rate citizen, but as far as a second tier, when you see Becky and Charlotte having the success that they have had.
Right. And
she maybe should be in a higher position on the card than she is.
Well, and you know what, Jimmy, and I know how much you adore Charlotte, and everyone knows that, but maybe it was she should have won that match in Boston. You know, she should have won that match in the Hell in the Cell. I think for Charlotte's sake, okay, yeah, she's still being, you know, on that high pedestal as the greatest women's wrestler of all time, but did she have to win that Hell in the Cell match? Did she have to? I think she could have been proclaimed as the first ever women's champion. She could have been proclaimed as the first Iron Woman champion and so forth, but I don't think that was necessary. Sasha Banks needed that match more than Charlotte Flair needed the Hell in the Cell match.
So I think Charlotte Flair needed Dallas.
Yeah, she did. That's what I'm saying.
You could make a case either way that Charlotte needed Hell in a Cell or didn't need Hell in a Cell. As it was, if I remember that weekend correctly, they went back and forth, they being Vince and Creative, went back and forth as to whether Charlotte was going to win that and whether it was going to go on last and all this other stuff. I mean, that was that went down to the buzzer of the start of the show.
Yeah,
More recently, I mean, we read stuff that Vince changes his mind on the spot. They didn't put Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins on first until 5:30 that day, supposedly at WrestleMania 35. So
that was awesome.
Really, my hope is that specifically with Sasha, is that if she needs a break, she takes a break and she comes back for WWE. But as we are discussing this right now, I feel like Sasha Banks has worked her last match in WWE.
Well, maybe for 2019, and I wouldn't be shocked if she does take a little breather, and maybe you package her with Ronda Rousey when she comes back over the course of the next year. Give her a little time off, and then when she does return, you have that wow effect.
Well, and I think the only reason why that Sasha got the match with Ronda at the Rumble was because Ronda requested it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't know for a fact, but that's what I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. And you know what? They both worked pretty well together, too.
They did. They put on one of the better matches of the year, and we'll get to Ronda Rousey a little bit later on. So the Superstar Shakeup has happened. Raw stole from SmackDown again. As one of my friends puts it, SmackDown builds them, Raw steals them, or Raw takes them, something like that.
Sounds accurate.
And so your new members of Monday Night Raw, AJ Styles, The Miz, Cedric Alexander, Andrade, Rey Mysterio, The Usos, Naomi, Eric Young, Lacey Evans, Ricochet, Aleister Black, the NXT Tag Team Champions, The Viking Experience, and supposedly Samoa Joe will be on Raw, but his segment was written out of Raw due to an illness.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown has Lars Sullivan, Finn Balor as the Intercontinental Champion, Ember Moon, Bayley, Kairi Sane, Buddy Murphy, Elias, and Roman Reigns. Mike, how do you think the Superstar Shakeup turned out?
So I think the big headliner is Roman Reigns going to SmackDown, and the other big one, I mean, not that it doesn't, listen, I love AJ Styles, but it doesn't do too much for me. But I do see the potential there, which we have talked about in the last few weeks, of him potentially feuding down the line with Seth Rollins. And for Roman Reigns, though, to go to SmackDown, I think this was the best move for him and the company here. Because, you know, Vince McMahon has tried so hard, whether you like it or not, to put Roman Reigns over and to be that guy. And the Monday Night Raw crowd, not saying that, you know, they're harder than the SmackDown one. I think that it's better for a change for him because he's still getting booed a little bit. He was getting booed at WrestleMania. That was probably the first time I heard him got booed since coming back from the leukemia treatment, and which I found a little disappointing because here's something that he wasn't even expected to be back into the squared circle for at least a full year for a while. So,
but I think that they're booing Roman Reigns. They're not booing Joe.
I know. That's exactly it. But show respect, though. Show a little respect for the guy to be able to push back. Maybe that's a human side of me. But I think, though, that this is the best thing for him. It really is. And you can – a whole new – he seemed lost on Raw this week, especially with Seth Rollins. And now that Dean Ambrose is out, there's no more Shield. You don't have to worry about him being that little shadow cast over his former partner, so he can do his own thing. And Finn Balor, I think that's a great addition to SmackDown, to the Intercontinental title over there on SmackDown. What's up with Liv Morgan going to SmackDown? Done with the Riot Squad, huh?
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yeah, she's on SmackDown, too.
Because I didn't see that as a switch.
Yep, she is there. And obviously Elias, as you mentioned. Yeah, so I guess the Riot Squad, they're just going to go two instead of three.
I didn't, I'll take your word for it. I didn't see it on my list. I didn't see them promoting it.
Yeah, it's, look at Liv Morgan's Twitter. She actually just put a little thing out like right before we were taping here about Vince McMahon's thing, saying that this is going to be the biggest acquisition in SmackDown history, and someone put out, or maybe it wasn't her, but someone put out that it was her to SmackDown. It must have been a kayfabe account, but she is on SmackDown, though. That is official.
Oh, they moved Apollo and Gable also to the Blue Brand, and Mickey James.
And Mickey James. Yep, and you did say Lars Sullivan. I heard that. New tag team, of course, with Asuka.
So they just kind of did it with no... Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's. I'm just guessing you're going to have just a regular tag team, no more Freebird now for the Riot Squad, right?
Yeah, on the WWE, yeah, it would just be those two. So on the official WWE page, it's they added, after Buddy Murphy, they added Liv Morgan, Chad Gable, Apollo Crews, Mickey James.
So good
and
for
now
Liv
I'm looking
Morgan.
At now I'm looking at Raw just to make sure I didn't miss anybody. And they didn't even put Samoa Joe on the Raw side of things.
He's not on there yet, yeah.
But supposedly he was supposed to be. So maybe they'll do something. Or you know what? They should leave Joe on SmackDown.
So that means you have the WWE Championship, you have the Intercontinental and the United States Championship all on SmackDown.
So they can switch that off at Money in the Bank or another pay-per-view.
And obviously, you know, Becky Lynch is the face of the company right now.
Right. It feels that way. So does this mean that if they're breaking up the Riot Squad, does that mean that Sarah Logan is joining the Viking Experience?
Oh, my God. That is so bad. And you know what? Everybody that, and good for the, you know, Warbeard, Hanson, and, you know, to get there to the main roster, that's fantastic. But come on, let them keep the name. Why the Viking Experience? Someone put a tweet out to us at WrestleCast985. They said, is that a ride at Disney World?
You know, well, I think what it was they can't use the term war because otherwise it would still be Raw's War in the War Zone. So they can't use the term war.
True.
So then you have Raiders. So is Raiders a copyright issue with somebody?
100% it is. You know it is.
I mean, at least they didn't call them the Berserkers. And they could have done that.
Can't go Pirates.
You know what? Don't be surprised if this name gets changed.
I hope so. I really do.
Do you remember Velveteen Dream's first name?
No.
It was the Patrick Clark Experience.
Jeez. So they had to change that.
So I think this was... My hope is that this was just a last-minute thing. Yeah. They needed to do something because they couldn't have the crowd screaming, war, war, war. Mm-hmm. So they'll come up with something better, and they'll adjust. I hope.
Yeah, Warbeard, Hanson, and Eric. So hopefully. But again, what about Viking with Minnesota?
Maybe because it's... Maybe it's just the play on words together.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So you can't call them like the Beard Raiders. You can't call them the Raiders.
Right.
You don't want to use the term war, so the Viking Experience is what you came up for probably an hour before the show began.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So they'll hopefully put some more thought into it. As far as my thoughts go on the shakeup, I didn't think that there was anything earth-shattering. Mm-hmm. The TV ratings for Raw were down, which doesn't mean as much as it once did, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of buzz around this one. And I wonder if this is a bigger picture thing with WWE really lacking that star buzz power. The WWE to me right now feels like the National Football League, mm-hmm. which is built off of parody, unless you're the New England Patriots who have figured out how to be the star amongst the rest of the league. On the men's side of things, yes, AJ Styles is a top WWE performer, but when they switched the title from AJ to Daniel Bryan before Survivor Series, I didn't hear anybody gripe about it. I don't remember hearing any AJ Styles chants during the Bryan versus Brock match in November at Survivor Series. This might be one of the reasons why Vince keeps going back to Brock Lesnar, because nobody has really jumped out at them. Mm-hmm. You know, and the women's division too, it really feels thin after Becky and Charlotte.
Yeah.
And there are talents who I like, but if you listen to the crowd and you look at who is and who isn't selling merchandise right now, it just seems like a lot of like parody. And I hate saying it that way, but that's how it feels. Much of it I think is booking. But the talent has to step up as well. Like, you're getting prime opportunity, and Kofi Kingston stepped up, and he got the crowd behind him, and good for him.
Right.
But for 10-ish years, John Cena was the New England Patriots.
Yeah,
Now, who's the biggest star in WWE? I think the fans will tell you it's Becky Lynch. I think WWE would tell you it's Roman Reigns.
Mm. Mom, and yeah.
Who do you think the WWE would tell you?
I don't know. I mean, okay, I think they want you to, at one point, Roman Reigns. I don't know. I'm going to okay, – as of today, I think they would tell you Becky Lynch. I really do, because there's a reason why she was in the main event. There's a reason why she's Becky Two Belts. There's a reason why she beat Ronda Rousey and Charlotte in the main event there, and she's got two championships. But maybe next week, maybe in the coming weeks now with Roman on SmackDown – you make that transition to Fox now, right? Roman Reigns, you're not going to have another superstar shakeup for at least another year. Then I could see it. But as of this very moment, I think WWE is going to say Becky Lynch.
Well, and I think Becky got two championships because the women's roster is so thin right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's a parody thing. I think it's a parody thing.
But they also need her on both shows.
Well, that's because the division is thin. We're saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a company that calls its wrestlers superstars, the WWE seems to have a star problem. With WrestleMania specifically, good show, not a great show. The Kofi Bryan match was great, but to me, that wasn't a dream match that had all this anticipation.
No.
It was, for me, it was wanting to see if Kofi was going to get his moment and win the WWE Championship. And I'm a Daniel Bryan fan, and I knew that that match would be spectacular. I thought going into it would be match of the night.
Yeah.
And it was. It delivered. But not something that I'm like, oh, wow, I have to see this match. It's on the card. I want to see it because I'm a fan of both competitors, but I'm more there to see if Kofi gets his moment. And thankfully, right. Kofi did, and the crowd reacted, and they got what they wanted. So that's a long way of going to this point. So now that we've shaken up the rosters, what new matches are you looking forward to? We mentioned AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, but they have to get Seth Rollins on the villain side because I don't think that they'll put AJ on the villain side.
So I think,
or maybe they do because AJ needs something.
Which you could, and you know what? You have those two in a tag team match, and one of them turning each other. Simple as that. That's it.
I mean, I thought they were going to do that on SmackDown where Kevin Owens was going to turn on Kofi. That didn't happen. Maybe that's coming.
Yeah.
But so I have, like, personal matches. Like, I want to see Ricochet fight AJ Styles or Seth Rollins or Rey Mysterio. But I don't know that the fan that the WWE is going for, the casual fan, wants to see that. Like, if you look at their kind of top stars, do you want to see another Miz versus Seth Rollins match?
No, I'll take a pass.
How about Rey Mysterio against Baron Corbin?
Nope. No way.
How about Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin?
Hard pass there.
How about Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre?
No. Listen, and listen, I know people love Seth Rollins, but those guys against Seth Rollins, they don't do it for me. I'm sorry.
How about Bobby Lashley against Seth Rollins? How about Bobby Lashley against Baron Corbin?
No.
How about Braun Strowman versus Eric Young?
No.
This is
no way.
So let's go to the SmackDown side of things. How about Roman Reigns versus Elias? You want to see that match?
Not in a main event. No.
Well, that was the last thing you saw on SmackDown was Roman Reigns and Elias in the same ring.
It's a tease.
So that's
it's
a program.
Yeah, I don't. You're
like,
right.
I want to see Kevin Owens versus Kofi Kingston. I think that would be good, but you have to turn Kevin Owens.
We got a problem right now. There is a problem with character placement on both sides of the roster for Raw.
Mike, how do you like Lars Sullivan?
Hey, he's not bad. I like him.
Does nothing for me.
Yeah.
Nothing. He's another one of these big brute maulers.
Yeah,
like, well, cool.
Like I said, I'm not over the moon for him, but yeah, he's okay. So you're right. There is a problem right now with the character of, I don't know, not development, but the way that they're being placed. And no one, you're not getting the matches that we should be getting, or they're just not adapting to the fans, right?
I think, now that I'm really thinking about this, I think this company has a promo problem.
Way too much.
No, what I'm saying is they're not good. What I mean is, so I had somebody tell me 4 or 5 months ago that there should be no person who is doing a 10-minute promo, right? They should be 3 minutes tops.
Yeah, that's all you need.
But there's no, like, a guy like Samoa Joe, who I have a bias towards. I love Samoa Joe.
Okay.
He's a great promo. He's a great worker. The problem is he's 41 and he doesn't fit the WWE prototype, right?
Yeah, he's a little ship sailed.
Seth Rollins is a 5-star athletic performer. Tell me Seth Rollins' best promo is a good guy.
I can't think of it.
So
Can you?
I can't.
Yeah.
He's better on the villain side, right?
He's much better as a villain.
So AJ Styles, other than his catchphrases, great in-ring performer.
Yep.
I don't know that he can draw you in with his promo.
The only one, and he was not a villain.
You know, Braun Strowman, right? He's got the size. His problem is his age, amongst other things. But they gave him a microphone for a Brock Lesnar feud, and he failed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't think that they ever put the Universal Championship on him.
Never had that push again. So, yes, they're not good on the microphone, and it just doesn't click with how fans react to them and so forth. And that is an issue for how it's being perceived by everybody right now, because it's like, whatever. I'm not going to freaking invest with these guys. Or like, look what you just said about Lars Sullivan right there. Okay? And look at all these other guys that just are not getting it done. You're not feeling good about them, and they have to work on their mic skills, or WWE has to figure out a way to put them in the, like you said, I think the Kevin Owens Kofi Kingston matchup would be perfect.
Kevin Owens is the best promo in the company.
Would you do Roman Reigns Kofi Kingston?
I think they can.
Well, I think we're on pace for that right now, because Roman Reigns,
I don't think they can do Roman versus Kofi, because Kofi's a good guy. And Roman's a good guy.
You have two good
and
guys.
They're not turning Roman. And then Mike, what happens is you're stuck in the same situation. If you have Roman challenging for the WWE Championship, then you have to have him win. And now the crowd is now turning on Roman again, because they wanted Kofi as the champion, and Vince is like, nope, you're getting Roman as the champion. And they don't want that.
That's why I see that could happen.
In the same way that the Royal Rumble year where the fans wanted Daniel Bryan, and out comes Rey Mysterio, who's done nothing wrong at number 30, and he just gets booed out of the building because he's not Daniel Bryan. So if you have Roman against Kofi, Roman is getting booed out of the building because it's not what they want. They want Kofi as the champion right now.
But in the brain of Vince McMahon, I think that's where I could see that happening, of Roman and Kofi Kingston, because he has done – that's his project, Roman Reigns.
The way that they should play it – and by the way, thinking about it, Elias is one of the better promos. Yep. But we're just not sure how he is as far as longer matches go, because he's only had a handful of them.
Yep.
So your best bet is Roman feuding with Elias, with Vince McMahon lurking in the background, because it's a top program and it keeps him away from the championships. Because you need Kofi in his own championship program. Kevin Owens would be ideal. And then you need to find a villain challenger for Finn Balor in the Intercontinental Championship, which, please don't do Lars Sullivan. I almost said Lars Anderson, former Red Sox prospect. Please don't do Lars Sullivan. Do somebody else.
Or you drop the title off Finn Balor, and then you have him go after Kofi Kingston.
So I would dig villain Finn Balor.
Yeah.
I would dig that. But I don't think that they would.
No, well, if you're going that traditional route, the
Finn sells too much merchandise.
He does, but you could still go good guy versus good guy. You could. But
I don't think they will. I don't think they'll make the fans choose like that. Bruce Pritchard tells this story all the time about how Vince hates good guy matches.
Yeah, well, it happened WrestleMania 12. We know that.
And it also happened with Roman versus Undertaker more recently in Orlando.
Exactly, 2 years ago. That's right. So, I don't know. There is an issue right now, and it needs to be corrected, because there is no serious connection with the fans, real investment more or less, to who to root for and what to see next.
Yeah, it's tough, but we'll see how the shakeup plays out.
Yeah.
Nearly 4 months after I first told you that Ronda Rousey wasn't going to make it to SummerSlam, Ronda Rousey made things official this week. She wrote on Instagram that she was going on an impregnation vacation with her husband. ESPN's Ramona Shelbourne, who Rousey is friendly with, then reported that Rousey is taking a hiatus from WWE to start a family. Rousey, I thought, had an awesome run from WrestleMania 34 to WrestleMania 35. She had good matches with Nia Jax. She had a classic with Charlotte Flair at Survivor Series. She put on a good technical bout with Natalya on Raw. She had an excellent match with Sasha Banks at the Royal Rumble. And to me, Ronda Rousey, her big matches, I think they felt special. And if we're all being honest with each other and we're having an honest conversation, if there's no Ronda Rousey, there's no Women's Evolution pay-per-view, and there's no women's main event at WrestleMania. So for Ronda Rousey and her role in WWE history, it's an important one. And she did the wrestling thing. She did the sports entertainment thing for a year full time. That won't be the case going forward, but I think that the WWE fan base owes her a thank you for all the work that she put into it.
Without question. And, you know, she could play both the heel and the face, more or less. And Ronda Rousey, I think that, when she came in, that Royal Rumble, the surprise at the end of it, that was the real beginning of it. And, you know, I think that she was the top dog in the end there. And you're right, that main event with Becky and Charlotte, she just kind of made everyone better. I think that everyone, you know, played up. They had a better match with her in the ring. And it was a better draw, obviously. But I just think that having her go one-on-one with you, she brought out the best in your opponent. And it was a top, you know, it was a must-watch anytime Ronda Rousey was in there. Obviously, the name, and she's good in the ring, too. But I think that, you know, she does deserve a good round of applause from the fans and the company, for that matter, for giving her a shot and for giving the fans, you know, the best scenario and the best experience that we could have had. Because right now, the women's division, from 2 weeks ago to now, it has really, it's not as strong without Ronda Rousey, that's for sure.
It's thin, but I think one of the big takeaways from Ronda's year in WWE is something that Paul Heyman mentioned on a podcast recently with Richard Deitch. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not, oh well.
Deitch, it is.
Paul Heyman said that Ronda Rousey worked incredibly hard week to week on promos and her in-ring performance. And the promos didn't exactly come across as I think people envisioned them coming. But the fact that as soon as she's done, as Paul Heyman tells the story, as soon as she's done with one promo on 1 week, she's already starting the process for next week's promo and what she's doing next week and getting input from people and trying to, as best she can, be as good as she can.
Yep.
And, you know, whether she did the fake promo on her YouTube channel as a real promo or a wrestling promo or that's how she really felt, she put effort into it. And that is something that I think we should all be thankful for, is that she came in, she worked the full schedule, and she put in the full effort, and she did the best that she could, and she did really well in her first full year as a WWE employee.
And you know what? Even at the very end of it, too, going into WrestleMania 35, you know, I thought that she was awesome. I thought that was the best we've seen her, when it was like real heat against her and Becky. You know, like, she had that, you know, that bitch attitude. It was some real natural stuff. And like Paul Heyman said, as you mentioned there, Jimmy, that she did improve over time and worked hard. It showed in the end, because she saved the best for last. And I hope that she does return to the ring after, if all goes well in her case and her husband's case, to, you know, have a family, come back down the line, because I would certainly appreciate it, and I think everyone else would too, to see her back in the squared circle.
Well, I think if we timed it out properly, if this impregnation vacation goes as well as they hope it does.
Yeah.
Timing, I think, would work out where she could be a surprise entrant for the Women's Royal Rumble. Mm. She wins the thing, and she challenges Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair for WrestleMania in Tampa. And we're back off to the races again with Ronda Rousey as champion in the main event, and more successful women's matches and promotions and pay-per-views and things of that sort.
And right now, you know, while Ronda's gone, this is Becky Lynch's time to shine. This is her time to shine here. And I hope that she does have more feuds with Charlotte. I think that'd be good for the company. We've seen it before. I hope it happens again. Those are your top two dogs in the female division right now. And I'm excited to see how this all pans out as we go toward the summer now.
I'm happy for Becky, but I hope Charlotte wins Money in the Bank and cashes in on the same night on Becky Lynch.
I think it would be it would be good for that, because you have parity, and you know, you have a good scenario with two good workers there. They know each other so well. That'd be good for business.
And if you thought my reactions at NXT were something, if that actually happened where Charlotte won Money in the Bank and then cashed it on Becky, they would be next level obnoxious.
So do we need a straitjacket on you?
Nope, not at all. Have it as a gift for life. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike Riley, closing thought?
You know what? Superstar shakeup. I am trying my very best to cure the WrestleMania hangover. Hopefully now with Money in the Bank just about a month away now at this point, that is going to help the cure here tremendously. So for those of you that still may have that WrestleMania hangover, don't worry. Better days are coming.
For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart.